Welcome to our Sleeved Life podcast, hosted by Kelly and Melanie, two women who decided to take control of their lives and have weight loss surgery. Let us take you on our journey. You will get to hear our ups and downs of the process and even join in with some questions. Now it's time for the show. Hey, Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, this is our first episode. I'm excited.
I am too.
Okay, good. So we're going to tell our stories today because I know I don't know many people's stories and we want to help people with ours.
Yep. And there's nothing like this podcast out there. No. So figure this will be fun and entertaining and informative. Everybody.
Yes.
All right.
I want to just get
into it. What's your why?
Yeah. Okay. So basically one of those podcasts is about weight loss surgery. So with that being said, I've had one of the weight loss surgeries, and that's going to be the gastric sleeve. Mine was done a long time ago, like about five years ago now. So the reason why I finally chose to do the surgery, because it's a long ways coming, because I was like 26, I think, when I got it. Wait, how old am I now? I'm 33.
You don't know how old
you are. I'm 33. So 28. Yeah, I was 28 and okay. Turning 29 when I got it. So my biggest thing was because, like, so my dad died. So he had liver cancer. He was only 59 years old. And the whole family is riddled with, like, overweight, diabetes, like, just diseases upon everything. And they're all big people. So when dad died, I was like, shit, like, I'm, like, way overweight. I need to get my shit in checked. So my brother, first off, was like, I need some help. So we started actually just working out and go to the Croc Center all the time. And it just like, wait, like I dropped like probably like 30 pounds and then it is stalemated for a long time, which really was frustrating mentally because Matt, well, like my older brother was still dropping weight like crazy and I was not. And I was doing the same workouts he was, eating the same workout, like work plans that, you know, all the food plans that you can do. And it just wasn't happening. So I got frustrated and I ate and I gained some more weight. So that's how that goes. And then he decided to go and do lap band surgery. So he did that in December and he loved it. And he lost quite a bit of weight pretty fast in the first couple months. The lap band surgery is where they take your stomach and they put like an actual band around it to make it smaller. So nothing, there's no actual like cutting or anything. And there's like a tube that kind of pops out of your stomach. And they like fill it up with fluid because it actually inflates the band to make it like thicker around your stomach lining. So that way, because you can slowly actually make it bigger so food can fit more in there. So if you keep eating bigger foods, then it's going to expand. And so they have to fill you up every like, I think he went every 3 months. So with the lap band surgery, Matt had it. He's also 4 years older than me. I don't know if that matters to anybody, but That's a difference for like weight loss process though, actually. So
is it?
It is like, because older people are not going to lose it as fast. And then they're like lacticity in their skin. I think I'm
elasticity.
Saying that right. Thank you. The skin part won't come back as quickly at all.
Yeah.
So that's a thing for that. So
you get more loose skin,
which it happens. It's going to happen. It's an unfortunate thing, but I'd rather be healthy than and have like skin, a little bit of light skin on me than or extra skin, I guess, on me.
That's where I'm thinking.
Yeah. So he got the surgery and I was like, I should probably maybe just apply because all you have to do is at least apply and just see if you get in. Like it's not 100% thing. So I applied the same place as him. It's Oregon Weight Loss Surgery in Portland. Great people. Love them. And yeah, within 2 months, they tell you it's going to be a 2 month waiting period. So I didn't have to worry like about like, oh my God, are they just not, you know, calling because I'm denied already or whatever. Yeah. So I got the call in February and they were like, yeah, let's get you in. And so it was super quick. It was way faster than I thought.
Yeah.
It was way quicker than that. And the other main reason why I did this too is because I felt trapped in my body. Like I've always been a big person, and so it was very frustrating where I was like, I know how to eat, but I need, like, a reset button, like, because whatever I'm doing, it's not, like, I'm not losing the weight. It's just taking forever.
Well, and you tried to lose weight, and then it wasn't, like, it stalled, which is normal, but it's frustrating, and then you gained all it back.
Yeah, so it's, like, I became a statistic, and that's the biggest thing I didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why, like, I worked really, really hard after surgery because I was like, I'm not going to be a statistic.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's basically like my why, is because I was just frustrated being in my own skin because I know all the right things to do. I have all the knowledge to do it, but
you couldn't put it in place.
I couldn't put it in place anymore. I was like, if I could have just been 13 years old and know everything that I know about eating and nutrition, then I would have never gained all this weight. And I probably would have been a more happy camper.
Yeah.
Going through puberty and then, like, you know, going, getting older and being in the workforce. Like, it's not fun being a fat person.
No, it's not.
So it's very frustrating. People treat you very differently. So
yeah,
I was fed up and I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. And then it happened and I was like, holy shit, I can't take it back.
It's kind of a permanent thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's mine, Kelly.
All right.
What was your reason?
So my reason was that about 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and fibromyalgia, which is a really hard disease, even one of them. And then when you add in all three of them, it is devastating.
Yeah, holy cow.
Yeah. And so I was in so much pain on a daily basis. We couldn't figure out my medication. And so I was basically bedridden for about 3 years.
Yeah.
It was rough. It was very rough. Yeah. And I had no control over anything that was going on with my body. And I ate. And I ate a lot. And I ate foods that were not good for me. And even though I knew that they weren't good for me, I continued to do it. And so my doctor actually mentioned weight loss surgery to me several times because she had had patients that did really well with it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready. I put it off for about 2 years. And I remember going in and talking to her about something to help me lose weight because I had hit like 240 or 250.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I gained a lot of weight.
What was your highest again?
About 265, 270. 265. So, I mean, I gained another 30 pounds on top of that before I actually had surgery. She had me start taking a medication that actually curbed your appetite.
Nice.
But it didn't work. I mean, I was taking so many medications that actually make you hungry, like prednisone, which I was on for 5 years. Like, that's awful. And so I ate, and it didn't work. And so I stopped taking it eventually. And I went up even higher and got to about 265, 270, and decided that I had to do something. I had to do something to help me because I wasn't living any type of life that anybody wanted.
No.
And so I went in and I talked to her, and she sent me over to a surgeon in McMinnville, and it was actually the surgeon that she wanted me originally see actually retired.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And so Dr. Thompson took over for her or for him, and I met with her and was instantly just so refreshed by everything that she said, and it just made so much more sense to me. And so we chose the sleeve. And the other thing was I wasn't even sure if I could have it with all of my medical issues.
True. Cause you have a lot of like where everything gets inflamed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, weren't sure how it was going to happen. Yeah.
Healing would have to be harder. So did they say it could be harder with having lupus?
They said it could, but everybody's different.
Yeah.
And it just depended on your body and what it felt like when you were waking up. Mm-hmm. So, but obviously an added addition is once you stop eating those foods that are basically inflaming your body. So the sugar, the carbs, all of that,
were
making me worse. So once I cleared that out of my system, I actually felt so much better.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's a big connection with gluten. Like that's,
yeah.
I know like the whole gluten-free thing, but it actually does really help your body. Yeah. So
especially with autoimmune disease.
Yeah, anybody that has autoimmune disease needs to be on a low, mm-hmm. low carb,
low sugar
diet,
high protein.
Yeah.
Cause protein fuels your body. So, So yeah, I finally went in, met with Dr. Thompson. I met with a nutritionist. I met with a therapist. The therapy was great. I loved it. Loved the nutritionist side of it too, because it really taught you what to do after surgery. Yeah. And it was so interesting to me. And it was just a new challenge, I think, and something that I could start and actually succeed at if I put my mind to it.
Yeah.
And I really just wanted to get my life back. I wanted to be able to go and see my friends. I wanted to go and have a date night with my husband. I wanted to be able to play with my dogs. Like, I wanted to be able to do all those things, and I couldn't do that at the weight and in as much pain as I was in.
Yeah, I would say, like, as your friend during that time, it was rough.
It was rough.
It was very rough. It was hard to be your friend, because it's like, I want to see you, but, like, all we do is sit here, and it's like,
yeah, there's only so much you can sit on the couch and talk.
Yeah. Like, and then I started feeling bad, because I was like, I want to invite you places, but I know you can't go.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know you just wanted to be invited at least. And it was just like.
Well, and I think everybody kind of felt like that. Yeah. You know, I'm a very social butterfly. I like to talk to people. I like to go and do things.
Yeah.
And I was stuck in four walls, like not being able to do anything that I enjoyed. I literally went to work, came home, went to bed.
Yeah.
Like. No life.
No life. No fun for anybody.
Yeah. So I think that was my main reason for getting this, was to just enjoy life again.
Yeah.
Get the old Kelly back, as everybody says.
Well, yeah, I felt bad actually saying that to you, because it's not like you weren't Kelly. It was just, for me, what I saw the difference was your energy.
Oh, yeah. Like, but right after surgery, I had so much energy.
Yeah. You were like brighter. Just, yeah. Yeah.
I think I felt hopeful. That there was finally something that could work, and that I could feel more like me. I mean, I don't know if you felt the same way. Like, I know yours happened so fast.
Well, not even just that. It's really different, because I didn't know a different side of myself.
True.
So I've only known myself as being the big girl at all times. Like, if you describe, as our group was, like, if you were like, oh, which one are you talking about? It would be like the chubbier one. Like, that's just who it was.
Well, I never described you like that.
But. No, but that's what you would do. And I never got offended, because I was like,
yeah,
I know who I was. It's not a big deal. Like, I was always a bigger chick, and that was my thing. Like, I had a lot of guy friends and not a lot of girlfriends. And that's just, I was one of the guys. And that's just what I did. I was a tomboy.
So, you were.
And it was fine. I had a great time.
Yeah.
But realizing, like, looking back, that it was actually interesting, because I didn't ever think of me as like invisible, because you hear that a lot, that fat people feel like they're invisible.
Yeah.
But like, I had a lot of friends.
You did.
So I didn't really worry about that part, but I realized that I never felt attractiveness until after having surgery.
That makes sense.
I didn't even realize I could be attractive.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was like. A thing. Like, I just thought that was in movies and like girls that like are super, super pretty. Like,
yeah,
we've had girlfriends I've been able to like get like free drinks or whatever. I've never had anybody buy me a drink. I've never had free drinks before. It's interesting. Like, looking back, like, oh, like if I actually like, they just don't, people just don't like bigger people. Like,
I think it's hard for people to understand where they're coming from. It like, I think thinner people that have been thin their whole life, they don't know the struggles.
No, no.
And I don't think that they want to pinpoint it, so they would rather just avoid them.
Oh, yeah. They're just really insecure about it. So they're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, especially in high school, like, no one wants to be dating the fat chick. Like, they all want to have, like, the skinny girlfriend. Yeah. Like, that's the deal, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't think about it until afterwards. I was like, oh, like, that is kind of shitty. Like, didn't have any real boyfriends through high school. Like, didn't have it. Like, me and you went to prom together. Like,
that's right. We did.
There's photo proof of us. Yeah. Like, you know, and we had a great time. We had a lot of fun with all of our friends. But, like, you know, we didn't have, like, the traditional, like, upbringing. If I was a traditional smaller
prom date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I probably was a smaller person. But I still had, I don't feel left out. Like, I don't regret any of that stuff.
That's good.
Like, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, I just wish, I guess I learned. I guess I wish I would have started eating healthier just sooner.
Yeah. But so, I mean, it's hard when you grow up a certain way.
Yeah. When you're in it, because like, I was always taught you fry everything.
Like not so much.
Pork chops. I mean, my favorite food was pork chops and rice. That's and it's right. white rice. So it's nothing good for you.
Yeah.
And it's not like a fistful that you might need. Like it's, no, it's like two, half the plate. Three. Like it's like half the fucking plate. And then I have two pork chops.
Oh, that's right.
And it was always be two. And it was like made just in fucking vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Like and it would cover, it wouldn't cover it, but it would be like, it'd be like half at least.
Yeah.
So, and it was fucking delicious. I think about that fucking meal all the time. That's my meal that I'd be like.
And that's why you don't go near rice.
Yeah. Because like, that would be my food on the island. Like you can pick one meal. That would be the meal.
Yeah.
Fucking pork chops and rice. But no, I can't even go near it. Like if you make pork chops how my mom made it and how I made it, like I'd be like, fuck you, get that away from me.
Yeah.
If you make it like a Eric makes this really nice pork chop where he does some sort of
Eric's her husband, by the way.
Yeah, Eric's my husband, sorry. But he makes like really great pork chop where I know the seasoning, but he does like an avocado puree that it lays on and then he cuts it up. And then he does, I think it's like a jerk sauce on
I don't think I've ever thought about putting avocado on pork chops.
I know. I never thought about it either. It's fucking delicious, though.
Okay. Well, that's going to have to go on the list.
You can dip it in it while you eat it. So good. But see, like, that doesn't bother me because it's fresh and new. And it's not connected to a place where I was becoming fat and was eating all these crappy foods. This is actually healthy food because it's on avocado. Like, come on now.
When you think about pork chops and rice, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Do you, like, does it give you negative thoughts?
I get happy. No. I just want it.
All right. That's I was just curious.
No, I love pork chops and rice. Like, I would love to have it now. Like, that would be amazing.
Right in the middle of the table.
No, food doesn't ever, I don't have, like, a negative connection with food.
That's good.
So, I do definitely emotionally eat. I have done that. Well, I think we've all done that. But
a lot of us kind of, that's the reason why we're in this position.
Yeah.
Is the emotional eating.
Absolutely.
I think the, like, for me, it was having that complete control. Like, if I want to eat freaking Ben and Jerry's every single night, I'm going to do it because I can. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it because I can't move.
Yeah. It's making me happy right now.
Exactly.
This is what's making me happy.
Exactly. So, in it itself, that was an emotional eating. It was emotional eating.
100%. Yeah.
And so it was just kind of, I think, different.
Well, because for me, like, if you think about it, me and you walked everywhere.
Yeah, we did.
Like, so I really wasn't, like, big, but, like, I was a thick girl. And so, but what happened was, is when I moved out, that was the biggest problem. Was because I worked at Arby's. Who doesn't work at a fast food place when they first, you know, start out?
And you drank every single night.
And it was, that's what I was going to, is I love alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved alcohol.
Yeah.
And I come from a whole line of them that love alcohol. So, but I can put, like, when you hang out with the friends that we hung out with, it was, like, a challenge to, like, keep up with how much you drink.
Yeah.
And I was one of the guys. So I'm like, you're putting away 10, I'm putting away 10. You're doing a case, I'll do a case. And holy fuck, like, that's not good at all.
No.
And I could do it, though. Like, that was the problem. Like, I was able to drink probably 12 to 16 beers a night.
Holy crap.
If we were like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Type deal.
Well, and like, cooking, thinking about food. Like, back then, we were eating fast food.
Yeah, so fast food on top of beers. Like,
yeah.
Because I've always been told at the end of every beer is a pork chop because it has the exact same calories as a pork chop.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So basically, if you think about it, every night I was having, like, fucking 12 pork chops.
Yeah. Which is your favorite food, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. But I love beer. That was the thing. I love me some beer.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of weight on that. That was like the very first thing I noticed was all of a sudden I had like the belly was getting a little bit bigger and then it was like over the jeans a little bit. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I don't know what's going on. I just know I'm getting bigger. And then.
Well, because I think we weren't taught a whole lot about
food
ever. Or healthy food or, I mean, my family ate pretty healthy. I mean, we ate.
You guys did.
Yeah. We ate healthy for the most part. We ate chicken, vegetables every night. I mean, but once I could make the decision to go out and have fast food, that was all I wanted.
Yeah.
And I remember living with one of my roommates, Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
And she made this meal that was literally, it was like basted in butter and
oh, it's her potatoes, grease. Right?
It was the potatoes.
Those were fucking bomb.
They were bomb,
but they were awful
for you. And you would have rolls. And what did she make? It was like pork chops.
It was pork chops.
Okay. Dude, and then she would put the grease.
Everybody loved pork chops. Yeah. That was around me.
Well, and then she would put the grease into the potatoes.
Yeah. See?
And I mean,
delicious.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was bomb.
But don't do it, people.
Don't even start it.
It's
awful. But I mean, that's what we were eating.
Yeah.
And we had no concept of, oh, this is really bad. You should probably only eat it like once every couple months. No, yeah. We had it like every week.
Yeah, at least once or twice a week. Yeah. Portion control, not a thing.
No. Nope.
Well, what's that?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just buying food and putting it in my mouth.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care how much it is.
Well, and you would fill your plate.
Like, yeah.
To the brim, and you would eat it all. And then you would go into a food coma, which, I definitely don't miss the food comas.
I don't know if I miss it. I didn't realize I was having it.
Really?
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
There's a few things I didn't realize. I was having heartburn. Had no idea.
Really?
I was having heartburn until, like, I was like, it kind of hurts all the time right here and whatever. But that's not heartburn. And Eric's like, you're an idiot. That's heartburn. Because Eric can look in water and be like, I have heartburn. He's like, I need Tums. Yeah. Like, that man always has heartburn. So I was like, no, that can't be what, like, you seem to have it all the time. I barely have it. I don't know what this is.
It doesn't have to be, like, full on.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would thought, yeah, you either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
But there are levels.
Yeah. Which I found out as I got older. So.
Yeah.
I was very naive. You knew. I was a very naive girl.
You were.
I believed everybody at face value, which I still kind of do.
But
I trust a lot of people. A lot of things.
You're learning.
Yeah.
You're in your 30s. You'll get there eventually.
God damn it. I have my bachelor's degree. I've learned a lot.
You have. You're getting there. You're getting there.
But yeah, there's just some stupid stuff I just didn't realize.
Yeah. Well, so. I think we're all, I mean.
Well, when you're in it, when you're fat and you're in it. Like, you forget that you're fat sometimes until you see it in the like, a mirror.
Or pictures.
Or in the window. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But if you don't have to look at you, then you're fine. And so you just keep eating the same shit over and over again. Yep. And thinking, like, why am I now at 2X? This is a problem.
Yep.
So, and then you tell yourself, like, hey, fine. I just won't get past the 2X. If I get past the 2X, then we got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kept happening. Well, I didn't get past the 2X, but
you didn't.
Okay. I did not. That was the top. My highest, we should probably talk about it.
I was just gonna ask you.
So my highest was 308. It's highest I've ever been. And that was like the very first time Matt weighed me. Actually, it wasn't
that was at the gym.
That was at the gym. And I remember being like, oh my God. Like, I saw the number and he just looks at me and I look at him and I like teared up and he's like, it's fine, it's a number. And I was like, oh, I love you, Matt. Like, thank you so much. Cause that was fucking awful feeling, like, like your just heart just drops into your stomach. You're like, what the fuck? Does it really say that number?
Yep.
Like, I'm really a big person.
Yep.
Like, I've
passed over the. I'm just a little bit big.
Yeah. This is like, I can't hide this shit anymore.
Nope.
So
nope. I remember going in and getting myself weighed, and I was at like 270.
Oof.
And just I remember that heart wrenching like. What have I done?
Mm-hmm.
Feeling. Like, what did I do to myself? And, I mean, the worst for me is seeing pictures. Like,
pictures are bad. I actually don't like to look at them at all. Like, nope. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not
I know.
A fan.
You're very, very, like, I don't want to look at it. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen.
Yeah, because, like, the more and more people I meet now don't know that person.
Yeah.
Only person that knows that person is you and Cody. And my husband.
Yeah.
Like, well, my close family, but no friends know that person.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like a different person now.
Well, you are a different person.
It's just, it's weird because a lot of stuff happened really quickly during that process.
Yeah.
And so it's all of the things that happened. So it's like.
Well, I feel like that process changes you no matter what. You're going to be a little bit different.
Well, I think it definitely opens up your mind because what I didn't realize, like how you're saying, like the food coma, like I didn't really have those, but I definitely had fog like all the time.
Oh, really?
When I'd wake up, I'd feel foggy. It took me because drink coffee, and probably that would have helped, but also that probably would have actually fucked me up more.
Caffeine is life, yeah. By the way.
Because I would go to work when I worked at Wells Fargo, and then, like, it would take about an hour, hour and a half, I would say, to feel awake.
Awake and kind of,
like, coherent for the day. And people would ask me questions, and I have to be like, what'd you say? Mm-hmm. Like, all the time. My emails that would go out would be awful.
Really?
Like, just missing. There was, like, I mean, it was playful, but it is kind of shitty if you think about it. They would make a contest of how many times I would miss a, like, a connecting word or whatever.
That's awful.
It's pretty shitty.
That's awful. So,
but you know me, I play things off. It's fine.
Well, but that's still, that's really bad.
Yeah, I think about it. Like, you guys bullied your leader. That's exactly what you just did.
Awesome.
It's just, I was just fucked up on the fact that I wasn't getting nutrition, like the right nutrition in my body. I was so just fogged that it took me so long to, like, wake up. Now, like, I'm awake. I'm a fucking awake. It's insane. Like, and it's annoying because you can't turn it off.
Nope.
Like, you can try all you want to go back to sleep and it's not happening.
Yep. Hence why I wake up at 3:30 in the morning every single morning.
That's insane.
And I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
I've already had a full day by, like, 10 a.m.
You're like, I put in more work than most people.
Exactly.
And it's not even noon.
Like, exactly. What the fuck? Yeah, there's some times where I'm not working for the day and I wake up at like 3 o'clock, and by 1 o'clock I'm like, I'm ready to go to bed. I've already had my full day.
Well, I mean, that's part of the process though. Now you're awake more. Like, that's a thing. So be prepared, people. If this is the route you want to go, you will feel more awake.
Yeah.
More energy.
Way more energy.
So,
I feel like it takes a hit right after surgery, right when you wake up, because you're still recovering. And, I mean, it just takes a lot out of your system, for me anyways.
Yeah.
But once I got past that first week, really, I had so much energy. Like, I was cleaning the house. I was doing things that I hadn't been able to do in years. Vacuuming.
I think that's probably why you had more energy, was because, like, you haven't been able to do those things.
Yeah.
And so once you could, you're like, holy shit, I can do these things.
Which makes it really hard now. Like, when I go into a flare, not being able to do those things is awful. It's awful. And it kind of brings me back to where it was before. But again, that's why I chose this, was to make that change. And so I just kind of keep reminding myself that it's only a day.
Yeah.
If I have to lay down for a day, it's okay. I'm still so much further than I was when I started the whole process. So
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because, like, it used to be more than a day.
Yeah. I don't think I ever went more than a day in between flares.
Yeah. So now it's like weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Months sometimes.
I think I went, 7 months?
Holy shit.
Yeah. 7 months without a flare, which is, like, unheard of for me.
Yeah.
I was feeling, I still feel amazing. Like, this was seriously one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
But when you went into the flare this last time, how are you with food?
You know, I didn't turn to it.
Nice.
Like, I think I made the conscious decision that when I had surgery, I was going to try my hardest not to be controlled by it.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't, but we also don't keep anything bad in the house, or, you know, what people would consider bad.
Yeah.
We don't keep carbs. We don't keep sugar. It's just not in the house. So if I want to eat something, it's an apple and peanut butter, or it's a Babybel cheese and cashews.
That's your favorite.
95% of my diet, people, Babybel and cashews. Which I'm starting to branch out.
She's branching out because her nutritionist and me have been like, you need to eat more fucking food than that.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's like a
more protein.
Yeah.
More protein in my system.
Way more protein.
Yeah. When you're eating 3 Babybel cheeses in a day, and then you have your cashews, and those are your 3 meals for the day, there's an issue.
I
may be a little obsessed.
When you told me that, I was like, I need to hear more veggies and more meat.
Yes.
I don't hear any
meat. Which I do eat meat for dinner most of the time.
Yes.
So I'll have my chicken or pork chops or, you know, anything like that. Steak. I mean, it depends on what comes in the HelloFresh meal.
That's true.
Yeah. Which Melanie actually turned me on to, and it's amazing because they portion it for you. I mean, I can only eat half of a meal, but it's still, I mean, it's way better than trying to cook for yourself.
Yeah, you just select a meal and it comes to your door.
Yeah.
And you just cook it. Yep. It's amazing. And you never have to worry about, if, do I have too much or do I not have enough? And
I will hashtag HelloFresh. Sponsor us, please. Yes. Because I would love some free HelloFresh meals.
Well, your meals will totally help weight loss surgery people.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all portion controlled.
Oh, yeah. So,
and you have a healthy option.
Well, and you literally cannot eat. I mean, I remember right after surgery, like, I was eating maybe an ounce of food at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe normal. Maybe half an ounce. I mean, totally normal. But it's just, it's crazy when you go from eating probably 6 to 8 ounces of food in a sitting easily to a half an ounce. I mean, it was hell trying to drink a protein shake, which I still can't.
I'm going to say you're not drinking those. You should probably do that.
I know. I would add good protein. I can't. It's got to be in an iced coffee.
You can't say I can't.
I can say I can't because I just did.
No. It's all about doing, guys. Don't use the word I can't because you can.
I can.
You just don't like it.
I don't like.
You don't like it.
Okay. I don't like protein shakes unless they are in iced espresso.
There you go. See, there's an option.
So I'm waiting until summer and then I will start my protein shakes again.
Can't you do that now?
It's cold.
So?
It's so much easier to drink warm liquid than cold.
Then tell them to heat it up. Why can't you?
You're going to heat up a protein shake? Imagine how disgusting that sounds.
But it's an espresso. Won't it just take over its taste? I don't know.
No.
No, not at all.
No. I mean, it would, but then it wouldn't be hot. No. Yeah.
Okay, so what is the drink anyway? Good. Like, can you break down this drink so I can understand?
Okay, so I love espresso. I love coffee.
Yes.
I love the taste of coffee. So I get 3 shots of espresso over ice with the ice about halfway. And then I pour my protein shake over the top of it.
And why can't you have that now?
Because it's cold outside.
Oh my, you have like butt warmers, don't you, in your car?
I do. I do have Turn on the butt warmers. I do.
I think that's worth the protein.
Oh.
No. You're ridiculous.
And I have an espresso machine at the house.
Kelly Lynn.
I know. Oh, I know. Goodness. I just need to. Well, and I make my protein shakes with the Fairlife milk, which is another thing Melanie turned me on to.
Yes, Fairlife milk.
It's so much better.
Yeah, and it's lactose free.
I know.
So
even my husband, Cody, has started drinking it. So we're buying twice the amount of Fairlife because he's drinking it with his protein shakes.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, because he even said that it makes his, like, it doesn't upset his stomach as much as regular milk. So
the lactose.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Fairlife milk
and HelloFresh, people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Those are the two.
Yeah.
You guys need it in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And Baby Bell cheese. I feel like that's a really good one.
That's a really good one. Just string cheese in general.
Nope. I can't do regular string cheese. That's another thing. The weird change in
foods
right after.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Olives.
Yeah.
I love me some olives. It's a great source of nutrition, but I feel full after like 2 olives.
Yep.
That's annoying.
That's weird, though.
I know. Even to this day.
It's avocado. Avocado does the same thing. Same thing to me.
That's weird because it's creamy.
It is. But like I have 2 bites of avocado and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm full. Which I'm not really full. So no, then I wait and then I eat something else. But
yeah, you just have to wait for it to go down.
Yeah.
That's the weird part.
Yeah.
Some people stand. I stand a lot.
Yeah, I've started doing that.
Yeah, gravity definitely helps, guys. So
it brings it all down to your stomach.
Yeah, especially when you're like, man, I had 2 olives. No one's ever full off of 2 olives. What the fuck?
True.
That is stupid.
Yep.
Wiggle your way down there.
Yep. You stand up, walk around a little bit, it'll move down, then you can eat some more.
Nice.
Which is probably not a good way of looking at it, but you know.
That's how I look at it.
Flat out. That's how you look at it.
That's how I look at it. It's fine. It's totally fine. But I don't know. The other reason why I was going to say that I did the surgery too was after dad dying, like we all did kind of like a blood test or whatever, making sure we're all good.
Yeah.
And like I came back with really good numbers, but she's like, this is only going to last for so long. And yeah. I was like, are you sure?
I was like, I feel good. And I feel like I can keep moving.
What's funny is I thought I felt good then.
Yeah.
So but I have no idea.
That's all you knew.
Yeah. So like, she's like, no, like, hun, like, you're going to have diabetes in a few years or maybe a decade if you don't get this under control.
Like, dad had diabetes, right?
Dad did have diabetes, yeah. Like, that definitely runs through our family. But it's not like I don't think that's really a genetic thing anymore. I think that's only type one is, because type two, you give that shit to yourself. Like,
so eloquently put.
I mean, but it's true and it's preventable. Like, when you realize some of these diseases that we're catching or causing are literally us causing them to ourselves, it's ridiculous.
Because, like, you got to think, food is everywhere.
Yeah.
Food is literally everywhere. Like, you can drive down the road and there's six different options for fast food. You watch TV, there's, out of five commercials, four of them are for fast food or food in general.
Well, yeah. And they've done the test to where, like, so red is a, like, if they put red in advertisements and, like, marketing stuff, because it makes you want to eat.
Oh, really? So
that's why, like, McDonald's has, like, the red and yellow, and, like, Arby's is the red, like, it's all over, like, Red Robin, Red Lobster.
Wow.
Like, the big chains.
I'm just thinking Babybel cheese.
It makes you hungry. Yeah, and your Babybel cheese is wrapped in red. Yeah,
it's red.
So, that's a big deal.
Maybe I should get it out of the house.
Yeah, so if, like, maybe she
that's not gonna happen, but.
Well, you read a lot, so, I mean, you can, you don't have to leave the house. You're fine. There's pictures, right? But no, like, that's a huge thing. So
that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Learn that now, shit in college.
You learn something new every day.
But yeah, like, food's all around us and they want you to fucking eat it. And once you, especially like McDonald's, like, no one wants McDonald's, but once you have McDonald's, now your brain's like, I want McDonald's.
You're set. Yeah.
Cause like, they were putting sugar in like all of their food. Like, their meat has sugar.
Does it really?
Yeah, because they want you to eat it all the time.
Well, it's like the tortillas from Taco Bell, they have honey in them.
Yeah, I believe it.
And now I'm like, oh,
that's like, what gross. The fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for getting me addicted to sugar.
Basically, that's what they've done. They've taken over the market and they're just like, sugar, sugar, sugar. They know that it sells and that's...
Well, and it's so addicting. I mean, it took me like, 2 weeks? To completely get it out of my system.
Yeah, 2 weeks to get a fast food out of your system. It seems like that takes way too long.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the sugar.
It is.
And the taste.
Well, because the sugar, like, it hits parts of your brain sensory to where, like, the excitement. So.
And it makes you happy.
Yeah, it's the happy part of your brain. Your dopamines, that's what it is. Your dopamines are going
bonkers. Go to the gym instead.
Yeah, just literally go to the gym. Your endorphins will open and you'll feel great.
Bypass
that
McDonald's. Yeah. Go straight to the gym.
Go straight to the gym. And talk to yourself. I've done that. Like, in the mirror and be like, stop being a fucking lazy ass. Get your ass in the gym. This is some bullshit. It works. Talk to yourself.
Talk to yourself. It does work. And talk nicely to yourself.
Yeah, you can.
It's really...
You can. No, you're supposed
to. It's an option.
You're supposed to.
I was reading something the other day and it said, for every negative thought or something, negative statement that you make towards yourself, you're supposed to make 3 positive ones.
Yeah.
So then eventually your brain... kind of readjust.
It's like retraining your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To think positive.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like during this whole journey, you just have to be positive. Because if you're not, it's...
You're going to get sucked in.
Yep.
Yep. Like, this is not... the surgery is not meant for the weak. I know that sounds mean, but like...
Nope.
Mentally weak. Because it's not just a physical problem. It's a mental problem.
It is... And, so mental.
And they don't tell you that.
Like, I think they do, or they did for me, but it's, you don't realize how much of this is mental.
I would say the significance of it.
Yeah.
Like, they say, yeah, you like, you might have some random thoughts and like, it's going to be struggles here and there, but you'll get through it. That's kind of like the glaze over I got. So like for me, I was like, okay, I'm fine. And I'm a positive person anyway. So like, then that's why it worked, is because I have an all or nothing mentality and I'm very positive about it because when I was young, like again, with my dad's family, they all fucking die. So like by the time I was like 13, 14, like I already didn't have two grandparents. I didn't have like three uncles. Like it was insane. And they all died really young. None of them ever really gets past 60. We have one now, just hit 70. Mm. Whoop, whoop, because that's when my grandma died, was 70. No one's lived past 70 in the family. So that's, and when you realize you're coming from a poverty family, the reason why they're all dying so younger is because of all the crappy fucking food that they ate.
Well, that, and they just don't realize that they need to take care of themselves.
No, because what they're only, like their mentality of being in a very poor family is, we need to make sure we have a roof over our head and food in our body. We don't care what the food is, as long as we can get some food at the store and feed them. Like, exactly. It's going to be the cheapest way. Like, because my parents weren't about fast food.
Yeah, no, they weren't.
They weren't. We would go out to eat once every Wednesday. It was every other Wednesday when my dad got paid is when we went out to dinner. So it wasn't about eating fast food, guys. It's literally what you make at home can be a problem just as well.
Yeah.
And mom didn't even make things out of boxes. It was literally just fried food and butter and sour cream and rice and potatoes. Like, it's just all of the carbs.
Yeah.
That's where I draw to.
Well, and there was no vegetables, really.
No, just broccoli.
Yeah.
Yep. And I love broccoli. And we randomly have, like, a salad night.
Yeah, you would do that.
Every once in a while. But yeah, it was, like, lasagna with, all of the garlic bread you could imagine.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's great meals. They're delicious, but they're heavy.
They are heavy.
And we're not an active family by any means. Because
I mean, you and me walked everywhere, like we talked about before. Yeah. But, I mean, other than that,
that's it.
There was nothing really.
No one pushed me in sports. I even played volleyball all in middle school. I loved it.
But yeah, that's right.
I didn't go. I don't know why I didn't even do it in McNary.
I don't know.
Same thing with choir. I stopped right at freshman year. Don't know why. Wanted to be in the dance team. Didn't do that.
Yeah.
Don't know why. Like, all these things I should have been doing.
Well,
but there was no push.
There was no push.
Yeah. Only push I had was, you better graduate. That was what I was told from day one. You better graduate. So their focus was, let's make sure we have a place for her to live, food in her belly, and get her to graduate. Because no one's fucking graduating in our family. Like, me and Matt were the first ones in our family, too. So
that's right.
It's insane, like, that we have come so far. But it makes sense why we didn't know anything about food. We weren't taught anything because that wasn't their focus.
Yep.
So I blame them, but not blame them at the same time.
Well, that was all they knew either.
Yeah.
Like, what they were taught, they passed on to you.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, it wasn't the correct
not at all
way of living.
Mm-mm.
But the good thing is that you realized it early in your life, earlier.
At least young enough.
Yeah. That you could do something about it.
Yeah. Because when you do it in your 20s, what's great is that, like, your body can conform back very quickly.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't really have skin issues.
Yep.
Yeah, I really don't. It's not...
I feel like my arms are the worst for me.
Okay.
And I've noticed a little bit more on my thighs, but my stomach has been pretty good. So I feel like me being in my early 30s, it's still, as long as you're moving, I think it makes a huge difference
because your skin can come back more. And the more water you drink also helps with that too.
And collagen. Yeah. If you drink collagen, like, I put it in my coffee in the morning.
So is there like an what is that called? Like, unflavored, I guess?
Yeah, that's what
So could I put that in anything else besides coffee? Because I hate coffee. I like the smell of coffee. I don't like the taste of coffee. It's too bitter for me.
Because
here's what would happen is I would be like, oh, this is too bitter. Let me put some cream and some blah, blah, blah in it. And now it tastes good. And now I'm fucking gaining another 20 pounds. Because
easily 20 carbs and 30 grams of sugar in a coffee.
I just made a habit that I don't need. So that can stay over there.
Yeah.
In its own little home.
Back to your question.
Yeah. Which one?
About the unflavored collagen.
Yes.
I feel like, because you don't really like hot liquids.
I don't.
Like, you don't drink tea, you don't.
So I'm coming around on hot tea.
Okay.
And it's just Lipton right now. I will move on to other teas, but I just I'm starting there because it's so cold in my office.
Right.
And I was realizing, like, I still need to go on walks. So I've been going on walks with my snowboarding jacket on. And once I get back, I I do some hot tea.
Okay.
In one of the big mugs that they give us.
So. Yeah.
And that's been helping.
Good.
Because I looked it up. Tea does not affect your intermittent fasting.
No, so, it doesn't. You can drink as much tea as you want.
Yep. So I was like, screw this. Then I can do this now.
Yep.
And what I noticed, because it's flavored, it's like taking up like food for me.
Yeah.
Where now, like, I would be like, oh, I'm so hungry, but I need to wait because I have like 2 more hours left for my time frame. Yep. And once I started doing the tea, I did the tea this whole week.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it feels great. Like I don't feel hungry anymore. So
it makes
like,
a huge difference.
Yeah. It is just a little flavor difference.
Yeah.
And it's just all water. And I'm drinking it way faster. So I'm like peeing
it's
all
the time. It's because the warm liquid goes down easier. Yeah. I don't feel like it doesn't like catch.
I know it doesn't. You're absolutely accurate. And the cold actually, but the cold burns your metabolism faster. It speeds it up.
I would rather drink hot tea than have the sped up metabolism.
No, I need all of the speds.
All of the speds.
All of the speeds. Because my metabolism fucking sucks. So I need all of the help I can get. Like I would take an ice bath if I didn't think it'd probably kill me.
You are insane.
I used to put a really cold or like out of the freezer hand towel on my neck. Because that so that's a thing. So the caveman, have you ever heard of this? I feel like you're like nodding for a second. But anyways, there's like there's some science behind it where I would put that in the freezer, the paper, the towel.
Yeah.
If you put that on like certain parts of your body, it makes your body feel like it's like too cold. So then it heats up. So then it tries to make you warmer. So right there, you're burning calories and your metabolism's going. So it's a dumb version of you jumping in a fucking cold river or taking an ice bath. It's like the lighter version of it. It's the pussy version of that. It's like, I've thought about it and I asked someone that's done the ice bath and I was like, okay, so like, how does that feel? And they're like, well, it's horrible for the first 60 seconds. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, it's bad. But once you get past that,
why would you?
Like, you gotta lay in it.
That is awful.
You gotta lay in it for 20 minutes. Go.
No.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Athletes do it all the time. So I feel like I can do this. But
no. Why would you put yourself through that?
Well, because it helps inflammation in your body and it helps your body heal quicker.
So go do like the cryo.
Oh, same thing. Yeah, it totally is.
But that's like 60 seconds, not 20 minutes.
I know, but also that costs money and this one is just nice.
That cryo thing is only like $25. That's totally worth not having to sit in a puddle.
For you.
It is worth every... No,
it is probably worth every penny.
Yeah.
But when I don't have extra pennies, I have enough for a bag of ice and I can...
I feel like if you don't have the pennies for that, just don't do it. At all.
That's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Because I did do the towel thing maybe like for 2 days and I was like, this feels stupid.
That hurts. Like, no. You get so cold. No.
I know. I'm already cold.
I know.
So I feel like with me shivering all day long, I'm just always burning calories.
You might as well just take it to the next level and dunk yourself in a bath of ice.
No, that's why I haven't done it yet. I'm scared. I'm so scared of that.
I like how you talk about how you're going to do it.
I will probably.
And then you're like, nope, this isn't happening.
Because I know myself, I probably will once.
No.
I like.
Okay, if you do it, you have to video it.
Okay, that's fine.
All right.
That's fair.
All right.
That's fair game. You're going to have to videotape it then.
That's fine.
Okay.
I will totally do that. Because later when you're watching it back and you're like, wow, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I want to document that.
Sweet.
Okay, I'm totally down with that. On the same page.
Anyways, so back to my why with my dad.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're totally fine. Actually, I don't know where it was. I just know that's where I left off a little bit. Because all the family and the food and whatnot. Because his liver cancer is preventable as well. 99%.
Oh, was it?
Pretty awesome. So that was very frustrating, like learning that like that's fucking preventable. Your diabetes is preventable. So what do I have to do? Because I have a child, I have a husband, and I would like to live a long time. My biggest fear is dying anyway. So like if vampires are a thing, someone bite me because that's really what I'd like. Because that's
immortal.
That's how terrified I am. So I was like, I better fucking do something. Like, this is insane. And after my brother did it and liked it, I was like, I have to do this.
Yep.
Like, this is not worth dying at 59?
No.
That's unheard of. Like, the fact that, like, my people at my work, like, their parents are, like, in their 70s. And yeah. I'm like, what? They live that long?
Yeah.
And they're going golfing. What the hell?
Well, my mom's mid-60s.
Yeah. Like, yeah. How is your mom not on hospice right now? I don't understand.
If you were part of the Austin clan, you would be.
You would be. Like, it's ridiculous. So yeah. You just learn, like, through all the death, because my dad was one of nine. So, like.
That's so crazy.
You just start realizing, like, this shit's important, guys. Like,
yeah. Your health is, you only get it once.
Yeah.
So you might as well take care of it.
Yeah, just fucking take care of your shit. Who cares what people think? I think that was the other thing, is that I cared way too much about how anybody would perceive me.
Yep.
About getting the surgery.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like, I didn't wait as long as you did, but like the thoughts, I guess not wait as long as you did isn't right. I thought about it for a long time.
Yeah.
But I never like looked into it.
Yeah.
Until Matt did it. And then I was like, oh, this is actually doable. It totally gave me the push.
Like, well, and I know when I had mine, it was nice to know that you were there and that you had already been through it.
Yeah.
And so that any questions I had or any anything that had to do with it, you were right there. And so that I feel like having that solidarity and like that support system, which, because I think other people, husbands are supportive and other friends that haven't had the surgery are supportive, but it's really hard for them to understand.
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having somebody that has been through the exact same thing as you is just, it's so incredibly just supportive. Like just having that support system.
It's humbling. Cause we can actually relate on a whole different level.
Yeah.
But no one else can.
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
There's just no way. And like, as much as our husbands are supportive, like they'll never understand.
No.
Like they're the closest to it.
Oh yeah.
But they'll never understand.
Well, yeah. They saw day in and day out of the struggles of like, especially right in the beginning or going through your liquid diet or any of that. But it's nice to have that extra bond with somebody where you can talk about it and they completely understand where you're coming from.
Well, I would say on that note, that's what we're here for everybody else. Well, everybody keep listening, because this is what we're here for, to be an ear for everyone.
Support system.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got your backs.
We've been right where you are. And you will make it through.
Yes. You definitely will. Ask us any questions.
One day at a time.
So, all right.
All right.
Good night.
Night. Hey, listeners, if you enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcast.
Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join us on patreon.com/OSLP, where you can get exclusive content.
Thanks for listening to Our Sleep Life,
a podcast for patients by patients.